Solar Impulse plans a U.S. transcontinental flight in the new year. Robinson offers a reward for missing rotor blades. And the FAA to examine UFO video. This is Aero News for New Year's Eve. It's Monday, December 31st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. While nothing is yet set in stone, the United States may get its first up-close look at the Solar Impulse solar-powered airplane in 2013. The Solar Impulse team confirms on its website that plans are in the works for a flight from California to New York City by way of Washington, D.C. next year. According to the site, Bertrand Piccard and Andre Borschberg, along with the Marketing and Communications Director Gregory Blatt, have been meeting with relevant government officials and agencies in an effort to move the event forward. Switzerland's ambassador to the U.S. has worked to facilitate meetings with key government and political representatives, as well as airports along the planned route of flight. At an event at the Swiss Embassy in Washington, D.C. earlier this month, Ambassador Manuel Sager hinted at a possible time frame, saying, quote, "We are very happy to support the flight from the west to east coast of the United States in the early summer of 2013, end quote. The Solar Impulse team said on the website that a flight across the U.S. would, quote, "be a great occasion to bring our message to a country which is in the forefront of innovation and pioneering spirit, and we are all very excited about the prospect of being able to share these values with a country that embraces our own DNA," end quote. More details will be released as they become available. On November 30, 2012, a Robinson R-22 helicopter went down into Tampa Bay near Apollo Beach in Florida. Most of the helicopter was recovered with the exception of the two main rotor blades. An extensive search of the properties in Apollo Beach was unsuccessful in locating the missing blades. Investigators are confident they are located somewhere offshore. Robinson Helicopter Company will pay $1,000 to the person or persons that locates and recovers each of the two main rotor blades, a maximum reward of $2,000. It must be the major structure of the blade. Any small debris related to the aircraft recovered and returned would be appreciated, but there's no reward. The location of each blade must be recorded, preferably with GPS coordinates. Robinson asked that anyone locating or recovering the blades contact the FAA inspector at the Tampa Flight Standards District Office. Once the blade or blades are verified, a check will be issued for the reward. And, oh, by the way, all federal, state, and local taxes and fees which may be applicable to this payment are the responsibility of the recipient. Could this be the beginning of Project Blue Book, Part 2? No one is quite sure what it is, but a UFO was allegedly captured on video by the passenger of an airliner flying from New York to Houston on December the 19th. The video has been forwarded to the FAA by the person who says he recorded the incident. According to a report from the International Business Times, the owner of the YouTube channel where the video was posted has asked ufologists to be patient while the agency analyzes the footage. The person recording the video, Mauricio Ruiz, places his hand by the window of the aircraft in an attempt to show that the light is not a reflection from inside the airplane. Some of the shots are fairly clear, but the object blinks out suddenly as if a light were turned off. There are, of course, skeptics. Ruiz has posted 26 videos to YouTube, many of them on the subject of UFOs and alien life. Ruiz commented on his own video saying, quote, "Granted, it could be anything from a distance. However, the footage is real, and it is now in the hands of the FAA. I do not want anyone else to handle this until the FAA returns their input. Please give me time. Many have requested interviews and the actual footage. Ufologist, please be patient. Thanks," end quote. Well, there's been no independent corroboration of the sighting from anyone else aboard Southwest Flight 3745 from LaGuardia to Houston on December the 19th. The sighting reportedly occurred in the Chicago area. A 41-year-old aviation mechanics school operating from a hangar at Van Nuys Airport in suburban Los Angeles is facing the threat of closure unless the Los Angeles Unified School District can find the funds to keep it going. The North Valley Occupational Center Aviation Center hosts a program that trains aviation mechanics, along with offering GED and high school diploma classes, according to a report from the Los Angeles Times. And its graduates are in demand, according to local aviation industry leaders who say aircraft mechanics are in short supply. The president of the Van Nuys Airport Association, Kurt Castagna, said, quote, a couple of hundred, end quote, of the school's graduates have found work at the airport in, quote, good-paying jobs, end quote, that, again, quoting, provided economic value locally and to the industry, end quote. The paper reports that there are about 100 students enrolled in the program per semester at a cost of $2,400, a figure cited as being much lower than private technical colleges. But according to center principal Carolyn Huddleston, rent rate at the hangar is $12,000 per month, and the center has already had to eliminate evening classes due to budget cuts. Los Angeles World Airports, which operates Van Nuys, reportedly is willing to negotiate the rent with the center, which relies on the hangar to offer classes it considers worthwhile. Without the hangar, Huddleston said, quote, the program would become second rate, end quote. When Aero News continues, another bag of peanuts while we wait, please. Appeals court finds in favor of Cirrus, and has Scrooge moved to Massachusetts?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, New Year's Eve, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A Southwest flight with 129 passengers and 5 crew on board took a detour on departure from Long Island's MacArthur Airport on its way to Tampa in the dark and rain early Thursday morning. The detour was off the taxiway and into a muddy field. In a recording from liveatc.net, acquired by television station WABC in New York, the pilot is heard to say calmly, quote, we just taxied right off the taxiway and into the grass here, right off Sierra and before Alpha, and we are going to have to deplane the people and get something out here to tow the aircraft back onto the pavement, end quote. The airport's emergency equipment was sent to the plane, which was reportedly listing to the left. Video from the station shows the nose gear buried deep in the mud, nearly to the gear door on the fuselage of the airplane, and the 737's engines were nearly touching the ground. The flight had been scheduled for a 0615 Eastern Standard Time departure. The passengers were taken off the stuck-in-the-mud jet and returned to the terminal, where they either booked other flights or waited for Southwest to dispatch new equipment. And there were free peanuts all around. The Second Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals has upheld a lower court's jury finding in favor of Cirrus Design Corporation in a case stemming from an accident that fatally injured New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and flight instructor Tyler Stranger in 2006. The two were aboard a Cirrus SR-20 that Lytle had recently purchased. The airplane impacted an apartment building in New York City while attempting a turn over New York's East River. According to court documents, the plaintiffs, the families of Lytle and Stranger, did not prove that the lower court should have allowed evidence from an accident involving a similar aircraft in March of that year. The appeals court agreed with the lower court that the circumstances of the accidents were not sufficiently similar. The Aviation Law Monitor also reports that the families said that the trial judge was in error for excluding an AD published in 2008 mandating adjustments to the rudder aileron interconnect on all Cirrus aircraft. However, the appeals court ruled that the trial judge had acted properly. The appeals court ruling is expected to be the final word in this case. If you've wondered this holiday season about the whereabouts of Ebenezer Scrooge, we may have found him in Massachusetts. The owners of Long Hill Farm near West Newbury, Massachusetts, are apparently in violation of local zoning codes and state laws for allowing a model airplane club to lease some of the farm's land. The farm receives state tax exemptions for agricultural purposes under the state Agricultural Preservation Restriction Law. Town Council Michael McCarron told the town selectman that allowing the Cape Ann RC Model Airplane Club to lease some of its land is in violation of that law, as well as the town's zoning code, according to a report appearing in the Newburyport Daily News. While McCarron did not say that flying model planes from the farm was illegal, the owners, John and Cindy Adams, needed to get permission from the state and local officials to undertake any, quote, non-farm activity, end quote, on the land. The selectmen said they would send a cease and desist letter to the couple, but that action was delayed after the first of the year, following a request from Mrs. Adams, who could not attend the meeting. Now, according to the paper, the club has been flying on the farm for about 18 years, but a nearby resident recently made a formal complaint about noise on the weekends. The club had said on its website that it was planning to expand its runway at the farm, and the homeowner, Stephen Shepherd, questioned the legality of the activity in a letter dated December the 10th. Cindy Adams told the paper that the couple does not want to alienate their neighbors and hopes that a compromise solution can be found to allow the club to continue operations from the farm. But the road to that compromise may be long and bureaucratic, involving multiple and state government entities, formal hearings, and likely a lot of paperwork. Unless, of course, Mr. Scrooge would like to change his mind. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. Here's hoping all the best for you and yours in 2013. We'll take the New Year's Day off, and we'll talk again next year. Until then, you're cleared for departure.